Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, happy Wednesday to you. You are indeed in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. As he said, John Lopez, the OG right there. I'm Reginald Datatula. Figgy Fig on ones and twos and you rolling with us, like I said, on this Wednesday. A few ways to get involved with the program, and we love it when you do. The text line, 713-572-4610. Go ahead and put that in your phone, save it in, and text us all throughout the show and all throughout the day. We appreciate when you do that. Also, we have appreciation from the Mokarem Injury Lawyers for the live streams, both on the YouTube page, Sports Radio 610, and on the Twitch chat, 610 Houston. John Lopez, how's your Wednesday going, man?
Man, it is going fantastic. I keep thinking about foods now, but we'll get to that at 1040 for sure. And
I love it. I love that we can do this because there's nothing that gets the people going like arguing about food. It's so inconsequential that it feels like you can lay away all of like your reservations and you could just go full hard at somebody and say that I hate you because you also don't like grits or whatever.
Right. When I hear the question of the day is a food related one, I'm like, oh, this will be an easy one.
I got this.
But let me just say, I'm going to put on your behalf, John. Mm-hmm. Hasn't happened yet. I'm looking at the text page. The first son of a bitch that puts OG sauce on the text page.
It's going to be 70.
Yeah. I'm coming for them. I just want you to know, I'm taking all their numbers down and I'm coming for them.
You're a good friend.
I'm an OG sauce enthusiast.
Yes. Do you need some? I got some more coming.
Yes.
All right. That's a good way to get that in there.
I felt like that was an off-air conversation that came to air, but whatever. This is a Wednesday here. The vibes, admittedly, all week long have just been significantly different because of Sunday.
Yes.
Really pivotal, that game, just vibes-wise. I think it stands to possibly be incredibly pivotal in this season, right? Mm-hmm. The hopes of playoffs became significantly bigger and larger than they would have been otherwise. If you did not manage second biggest comeback in Houston Texans history on that Sunday. And so you look at the way that this goes, and I mean, that reshaped the season.
Mm-hmm.
Are there other games that you can look forward to that could do the same? 713-572-4610.
I think there will be at least another game that reshapes how we feel about this team.
Well, certainly. It feels like you're in such a precarious situation how you feel about this team.
A win or a loss.
Right. Either way, we could be back into pits like that, lickety-split, just off the strength of a particular game. Or you could be on top of the world if they manage to do this. So, yeah, maybe you could take this from either direction. But before we even get deep into this, I would like to go ahead and, on the front side of this, apologize. Because you know what I'm doing right now? Looking past the Titans. That's what I'm doing, baby. I'm looking past the Titans.
Who's
now,
mine?
To be fair, we will not entirely look past the Titans. At 1 p.m. today, we will go behind enemy lines, talk to our guy Ron Slay out there in Nashville. So we will take them seriously at that point. But right now, ain't nothing serious about them Tennessee Titans. Let's look past them, and I give you my blessing personally to do so.
Yeah, look, you're right. That game, I don't think anybody can argue that game at least changed the way you look at this team. And I think it's not a stretch to say it changed the trajectory of this team. I think the answer to what other games down the road could do that, I think it's an easy answer, and maybe you're going to have two completely different answers. But to me, the Thursday night game against the Buffalo Bills at home is going to be much like the Jaguars. It's going to reshape how we look at this season. That's one. And then the other one is the second to last game of the year, the Chargers. The Chargers are a little onto something right now. Keep in mind, you humiliated them last year in the playoffs.
Sure did.
And that is still Jim Harbaugh out there. And then the biggest reason I think these two games are going to reshape the season is the Texans are realistically looking at a wild card.
Oh, right? Probably. I mean, unless the Colts collapse in a way that feels untenable for them right now. The way, like, they're built somewhat sustainably. I understand that there's definitely some flaws in the way that they go about things, but they have a solid running game. We've known that for years with Jonathan Taylor, and it feels like they found some things when it comes to some of their defensive approaches to this.
And you know who else is realistically looking at a wild card? The Buffalo Bills. You know who else maybe is looking at a wild card? The LA Chargers.
Can we just stop and appreciate that the Buffalo Bills, with reigning MVP Josh Allen, looking up at the New England Patriots?
Yeah.
And to be fair,
by two games,
it's only been a very short period of time where the Patriots were down bad. So don't see me crying for no Patriots fans or nothing. But like last year, that would not have felt like something that would happen.
Yeah. But think about that. That Thursday night game, let's say they come in here 7-3, you're 5-5. All of a sudden, you get a win over them. It knocks them down. You raise yourself up. They're realistically looking at. I mean, they're two games behind the Patriots right now. So they're realistically looking at. That's a team that you can maybe fight for that wild card. And the Chargers, they have 7 wins, so it's a little bit. They're still in the hunt for their division, but you know, obviously, you know the Broncos have the best record in the AFC. So I think the combination of those two teams. You played the Chargers. That's going to be a revenge game. You've beaten the Buffalo Bills in this building as well. And then on top of that, you got the wild card factor.
Right, and I think that let's start talking about this Bills game because I do think that that's a fair one. I'm trying to kind of bounce back and forth the reasons why and why not that might be the case. And one of the things that I immediately go to is that's a short week, right?
Yes.
How does the notion of it being a short week factor into this? Because I think you could... You know, I'm doing the thing where I try and create a mental pros and cons list of this. And I think that you might be able to try and find some excuses that, oh, well, it's a short week versus the Bills. Although you are at home. So those things.
I was going to say, not as bad as Buffalo. They're coming from Buffalo, New York on a short week.
That's right. So there's those portions of it. I also think that you mentioned since you played them last year, there is kind of an interesting juxtaposition that you can put up year to year over year versus how you handle them and particularly how you are able to handle Josh Allen, who last year, again, MVP caliber season, whether or not you feel like he should have had the actual MVP, that's neither here nor there. I don't think anybody could make the argument last season that Josh Allen wasn't phenomenal in his play. And you quite literally had probably the best performance against him of any team. This defense doesn't get any worse this year.
Right.
Although I guess they are strained when it comes to actual bodies back there. Now that you have MJ Stewart also lost for the season after, you know, sending away CJ Gardner-Johnson. We'll see where Jalen Petrie is concussion wise. But that also raises some questions. Are you able to take Josh Allen out of the game like you were last year? In part because that secondary also needs to be able to stand up in that same way.
Yeah, I don't know if you have any other games that jump out, but for me it was Buffalo and the Chargers. But the Colts, what if you can sweep them?
Well, I mean, there's a distinct possibility that you could just off the strength of winning Week 13 because Week 18 might be one of those things where it's a foregone conclusion for them. I think we both.
Well, I'm saying as if it's not a foregone conclusion.
I don't. I mean, if that's the case, that's awesome, right? Yeah. Like that because
you get them at home on the last.
Both
weekend.
Of those would be very important for you. I think that there it's probably more likely that
sure,
last game is a foregone conclusion.
It's not on my list at the top of my list,
but
anyway.
Still the strength of like going on the road in Week 13 when I think there'd still be. Somewhat in that place of trying to make sure that they solidify this. If you can go and humble them, I think that gives you a little bit of a confidence, especially looking at, as we've talked about a number of times, how there's not really a strength of the NFL right now. There's not really very many absolutes when you look at various teams. I think that could be something that's telling. But I feel like you went to the Bills and the Chargers for particular reasons. I'm interested in the Chargers one for you because the Chargers, that could be telling, but it also could not be. Like, the Chargers are one of those teams that I don't know any given Sunday or Saturday or Friday.
You know. And that one is flexible, I should say.
I don't know what they bring to the table, and they are so, like, they're so up and down themselves where I don't know how much that'll tell you, especially at that point, will we feel like we know what this Texans team is by week 17?
Yeah, but at the same time, the Chargers are 7-3. You know, they are 7-3, and I know they have a couple of cupcakes, well, presumed cupcakes coming up. They got the Jaguars this week, and then the Raiders at home the week after that. So, yeah, I think just by default, they're going to have at minimum 9 wins, you know, when you face them. Because,
the Chargers?
Know, yeah. So even if they're not at their best game, that's why I think it could be sort of a change the direction of the season type one game.
Is there any reason that you didn't go to, I think the obvious answer that I think some people will go to, being the Kansas City Chiefs, been a little bit of a boogeyman for you as a franchise, and then obviously like they're not a great team.
And they're definitely in the wild card hunt right now.
Right. Is there any reason why you didn't go with the Chiefs in your thoughts of which games could be pivotal or telling or what have you for this Texans team?
I mean, it could be. It absolutely could be by the time you play them, because that's after Buffalo and Indianapolis. And
yeah, but that's before the Chargers game that you were willing to put up here.
Before the Chargers game. But I think part of it for me is maybe I'm just respecting too much of what they're doing right now, that I see them making a run and not faltering, you know? Maybe that's it.
So you feel like you lose to the Chiefs and you just go ho-hum. That's one of those things that happens?
At Kansas City, primetime game, Sunday night. All those things.
You know, one of the things that I keep thinking about with the Bills game, and you know I mentioned this yesterday, talking about that rushing performance you were able to put up against the Jags, how it's like success rate-wise, the single best performance that you've had since week one of last year versus the Colts, where that was just like a masterpiece of running the football. The Bills are M-A-L-O bad at stopping the run. We've had numerous people, including Nick Caley, coming out flat out saying that their identity is being a tough physical team that runs the football. It's clearly at the foundation of what they believe this team to be offensively.
Yeah.
That's going to be real interesting to see to what degree of success can you find against a team that isn't good stopping the run, because I'm not certain that – I don't feel like this is a good running team.
Yeah.
As much as they believe that they want to be that, I think that would be interesting to see. I don't know if it'll be like a super telltale, but – if they don't get out here and absolutely just dog walk the Bills on the ground, I will have even more concerns about that run game.
And especially when you know D'Amico and Matt Burke kind of have the secret sauce with Josh Allen. You figure you're going to do okay against Josh. I mean, that's a bit bold statement, but you know they've had success against Josh Allen.
Somebody said from the 832, I think we can win out with Davis Mills. All right, thank you for that text. I appreciate it. Like
salute the Davis Mills family. It's a lot.
Wow, you ain't got to do that.
Yeah, man, salute.
Don't do that. He's got friends too.
You can win out.
He's got friends too.
That got to be family. That got to be family.
Win out, Figgy, blood. What he said.
But all of that starts with getting to 500 by getting a victory in Tennessee this weekend. And we're talking about that as we continue to head towards the weekend. But you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Appreciate you rocking with us on this Wednesday. Giving away, like we are all week, a 4-pack of tickets to see the University of Houston Cougars take on TCU next week. So keep a locked for that. But coming up next, Wallet Hub has released its list of best sports cities in America. Does this explain some of the questions that we've had about showing up to games here in Houston? Let's talk about it next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Happy Wednesday to you. Hope your Wednesday is going well. Does this give us a little bit of context as to what kind of sports city Houston is, or are they just off? As Wallet Hub, which an esteemed publication right up there with the New York Times and so on and so forth.
Well, it's definitely in on this. I mean, it always releases these types of lists and stuff like that, but it's I wouldn't say New York Times. It's a research facility.
It is clearly
it's a
paper,
research company.
It's clearly a paper of record, obviously.
Yes.
I'm tongue in cheek, obviously. But Wallet Hub put together a list of best sports cities in America today, John Lopez, and we turn to our publication expert, our correspondent, John Lopez, for his breakdown on this with Houston.
So what's the thing that always just boggles the mind when we go to Texans games.
Well, I mean,
the people showing up late.
Showing up late, or in the case
fans.
Of like.
Opposing fans.
Walking in a trap, taking over the trap.
Being there early.
Getting there early and opposing fans.
I will not get over, especially, I know that the Niners took over a strong way. The Broncos game was
because
so
of orange.
Vivid. Yes. It's like when you go play golf, you get the highlighter yellow ball because, of course, I play those. I'm terrible. That's what it felt like. It was just like, oh, look at all this orange. It pops off of the bowl there, and you see them.
Yeah. So when this came across my timeline, or I think I got an email on it.
You get emails from Wallet Hub?
I got emails from Wallet Hub.
He's on the Wallet Hub email list. What other things Wallet Hub be sending you?
I said, okay. Because it gave me the list of, like, who are the best cities. And that's just peripheral.
Who are the best
superficial
cities?
Superficial.
I'm sorry. I'm curious.
I can tell you in a second. But
allegedly.
According to them. But, so I started digging into what they sent because I thought, is this going to explain anything? So you guys tell me. So according to Wallet Hub, Houston is the third largest city in America.
Is it officially third? I know that it's been like jockeying back and forth.
As of 2023, it goes back and forth with Chicago.
Yeah, right.
I think it's supposed to overtake Chicago, I want to say 2030 or something like that.
So third, maybe fourth.
Third,
either way,
fourth,
it's the third or fourth largest city in America. It ranks 21st according to Wallet Hub's metrics. And you know, they had a bunch of information and stuff like that.
Didn't
bring
the stats.
I have some. But in terms of NFL teams' volume of tickets resold, in other words, secondary market, the Texans actually are only in the middle of the pack. But there's a reason for that.
Why is that?
Cowboys, Chiefs, Eagles, Packers, and Raiders are the top five because you can get a higher price for those teams. You know, because it's the Cowboys, it's the Chiefs, it's the Eagles, it's the Packers.
So those feel like destination teams at this point.
But, I mean, Cowboys' resale market is a lot. You know, same thing with the Chiefs and the Eagles, obviously, and the Packers, obviously, as well. Raiders, Las Vegas, hey, let's go catch a game.
Yeah, so, that's the thing I always thought about putting a team in Las Vegas. It's such a transient city and such a destination city that, like, you almost will never have a home field advantage there because you're always just having people come in and just go watch a game as if they were going to watch a show.
Right.
But the resale market for those teams, are these people actually that are – Cowboy fans in wherever?
It doesn't really specify.
Okay, because that kind of makes sense because it's Cowboy fans everywhere you go. Philly fans everywhere you go type deal. So it could be them buying tickets.
You're right.
Because it seemed like those teams don't get overtaken by opposing fans.
You're right. But this is where it gets interesting. Got interesting for me anyway. So those are, for obvious reasons, the top five. In terms of resale price, in other words, season ticket holders or ticket holders in general, reselling them for the highest price. It's also Cowboys, Chiefs, Eagles. The Texans rank 26th in the NFL. In other words, opposing fans get a good deal if they come to Houston.
Mm-hmm.
The average resale price of NFL tickets at large is $320 a ticket. The average in Houston is $180 to $200. So, in other words, what does that say about
If your team is playing somewhere, Houston is the place to be able to.
Houston,
and it's such an accommodating city. Mm-hmm. It's great food. You're going to have a great time. Like, I'm sure the tourism board is cool with that, but that does suck for, like, the home field advantage.
Like the Broncos fans, hey, let's go to Houston. Cheap flight, Southwest Airlines, whatever, $180 ticket. Let's go.
Yeah. Not only that, like, your United Hub flying into the city ain't tough, right?
Yeah. I was going to say, too, out of all the big cities like that, I feel like Houston is kind of under the radar when it comes to, hey, let's go to Houston for a weekend.
Right.
And fair pricing and all that stuff is not as high as Vegas or L.A. and all these other bigger cities.
So that kind of, to me, and, you know, you guys obviously weigh in, but kind of started to explain why this happens. Cheap and the price, you know, it's cheap and there's a lot of people reselling tickets. This also kind of opened my eyes a little bit. They broke it down by sport.
Okay.
So in the Houston Rockets, believe it or not, ranked 9th in all of basketball.
And again, just to, you know, refresh, what metric are we talking about? Like, what is this ninth referring to?
Popularity of the sport in that city. You know, the Rockets ranked 9th. The Astros ranked 13th. The Texans, 26th. So when you combine there's I'm not going to say apathy, but there's not as much of a craziness. It's not as popular in the football in general in Houston, according to this, is not as popular here as it is, you know, in some of these other NFL cities.
Yeah, relative
26.
Because I mean, there's no one that will be in Houston and say that the Texans in football is not popular.
No, no, it's the number one sport, but in terms of like just in general, it ranks 26th among NFL cities. So you have some fans that obviously buy in, but it's cheap and they can resell their tickets. They can watch it on TV. It's basically what they're saying right there.
That's interesting.
Isn't that interesting?
No, it is. Mm-hmm. And the conversation that we've had, and maybe we've had way too often. I know that I'll bring it up though, because I know the Texans are constantly having it, is how do you shift that? Mm-hmm. And there's not really an easy, I mean, we're talking about some things in you know, affordability, in ease of access, ability to get into the you know, city and everything, mm-hmm. that you're just not going to shift, right? Yeah. But there's some things that I think are almost cultural in a way.
I think it is cultural. And I'm sure, I haven't looked, I will in a second, at the text board. There's so many things to do in Houston. Well, there's a lot of things to do in LA. There's a lot of things to do in Las Vegas. There's a lot of things to do in, you know, some of these other cities, Miami, et cetera, and they don't rank 26th, you know? So it is interesting, and it made me also kind of ask you guys, why?
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Why?
It's crazy. I hate to do the, I don't know.
Yeah.
But I truly don't know, man. Yeah. And I feel like the Houston Texans, I like to give them credit too, because they trying to do everything they can to make it easy to get into the stadium.
Yeah.
Now you see the little metal detectors they have. You don't even have to take nothing out your pockets.
Yeah.
You could just walk right through. They doing whatever they can to make it easy.
They have those vans circling the stadium. Get in now. Get in now. Yeah, 30 minutes to kick off.
They making it easy. They telling people
they're trying.
That they telling people to have their ticket out, so that way it won't be a long line. I feel like they doing everything they can. They doing a lot of research on this.
Sure.
And I feel like they really don't know. They trying to do everything they can to make it easy to go to a game.
You're right about those things, but I think the numbers that you're pointing out, when you have them like 26th in that relative kind of popularity, we're not talking about things about around the margin. This is instrumental. Can you go back, if you don't mind, and give me those top teams football-wise that you were looking at, right?
This is resale.
Sure.
Cowboys, Chiefs, Eagles, Packers, and Raiders.
A lot of those have not only been good teams of late, they've been relative dominant teams. I think that there needs
legacy.
To be that. There's legacy,
not
of course.
Well, the Raiders, yes.
Raiders is legacy, yeah.
There is legacy involved, and that's not something you're going to port in as the Texans. Yeah. But I think that ultimately, we come back to the same thing. You're going to need to not just be good, you're going to need to find a level of dominance where, because, I mean, you've had good teams, but the idea of, you know, same old Texans pops up in people's minds, and that's,
I think that's a fact.
That's enough to waver. Like it needs to get to a point where people feel like, oh, y'all, are you going to the Texans game because it's so hot and you know you're going to have a fun experience and you're probably going to have somewhat of a known outcome in the positive way?
No, that's exactly what it is. I think, like I said, the Texans doing everything they can to make it easier, but I think it got to be on the field, man. It got to be consistency, man. You really got to win. It can't just have a good season and then get bounced out in the divisional round or whatever.
It's perplexing to me because the Texans, by a long shot, are the most popular team in this city. Like the Astros, all due respect. Rockets, all due respect. It's not even close. I mean, if you're being, it's not even close how people love football and the Texans in this town. And yet, maybe there's some apathy. I love the Texans, but I'm not, you know, I can sell these tickets, watch it on TV, you know, et cetera.
Yeah. And just talking to regular people that just be walking around, even not even bringing up why you don't go to the game or anything. Some people say, man, I'm just tired of the same old stuff.
Yeah.
And it's like they really not bought into it.
But even they don't sell their season tickets. They just resell them.
Yeah, yeah. They don't get rid of them. They just kind of get. They kind of give them to people or resell them.
It's a prove it. I mean, it's still they're still in prove it mode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's it. Can I ask you something here before we roll this thing over to our question of the day? There's the kind of the notion that on the text line that, hey, man, Houston is a fickle sports city. How much do you buy into the nature of that? Because, like, I think we've seen some places where, you know, the fandom wanes as well. I think there's a lot more places that I think you would term as fickle than we probably give credit for. You just have the right circumstances that I think help buoy, you know, attention and, I guess, that vibe, that feeling.
I think fickle ties in with prove it. I think they kind of run hand in hand. But one thing that I don't buy anymore, and I used to believe this. And people say, well, Houston's a transient city. Every city's a transient city of the major cities right now. I mean, there are people coming in everywhere from every place, you know. And I get Houston is probably still up high, but I don't buy that anymore. I think it's some of the other stuff. It's like, prove it. It's cheap. They can make some money. They still go to the games. But, you know, it's just easy to get in and out of. All those things. By the way, just to put a bow on it, overall, you asked this earlier. The top 10 cities, sports cities, for all three sports, tickets, everything. Number one is Boston, and I'll just go through them.
Boo. I'm sick of this. Boston is such a great sports town. Like, I don't care what data you got. Man. I'm sick of hearing it.
I mean, I ain't got the stats, but they probably got more championships out of all the sports there than anybody else.
L.A., Pittsburgh is three. New York, Dallas, Philadelphia, San Francisco, Kansas City, Washington, D.C., and Miami. Miami's interesting. Miami's interesting at 10.
Because that's where my feelings
outside
got
the
hurt.
Dolphins. Who, I mean, you got the Heat.
Yeah. That's where my feelings
and
got
the
hurt.
Marlins.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, the Heat, man, they wouldn't. They were looking.
I guess they got the tickets. Well, might as well go.
They were looking like the Rockets games in the finals at one point.
Legitimately,
man.
You were saying all those names, and I was like, yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. You said Miami. That hurt my feelings.
Yeah,
that one. That's an affront. I hate that. It made me mad. Segment over. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Yeah, no, I'm done. I'm done with that whole conversation. You just made me mad. Coming up next, let's get to our question of the day. Inspired by Chick-fil-A, starting out a new food on their menu that John Lopez apparently not too fond of. What's a food that most people like that you just can't get with? 713-572-4610. Let's talk about it next. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610, where, full disclosure, conversation rolled on all break. We were talking about all sorts of things, public transit, talking about income in the city and how it compares to all those other cities we were talking about, obviously, tailgating.
Yep.
These are all things that I know the Texans are having conversations about, but it's just an interesting thing, and it still feels like it comes back to the biggest answer is, can this team put out a consistent winner
on this field?
What's the wild thing is it feels like they should be able to, and they're kind of stuck in neutral. I think that's what makes me
even maybe more frustration, apathy.
A lot of people
frustrated.
Again, I
hate using that word because apathy was real when Easterby was here. Maybe there's some carryover of that.
No, that when you start talking about same old Texans and that kind of refrain, that absolutely hits you when you could reasonably look up and go, there is a pattern of 2 years of good and here comes the cliff.
Yeah.
Right. That is something that also factors into, like, you know, I think a lack of, like, belief that what we're going to go and watch is of the caliber that I deserve for shelling out this money. Regardless, let's get to our question of the day, John Lopez. And what inspired this for you?
Yeah, going through all my usual nonsense, and I came across a story. Chick-fil-A is market testing a new product in Baltimore and San Antonio. And it starts December 1st. And if it's successful, it's going to go across the country. Chicken and waffles. And I saw some tweets. Oh, man, I got to drive from local people here. I got to drive to San Antonio in December to go get. And I'm like, chicken and waffles just doesn't do it for me, man. It just doesn't. It never has. I think part of it is like when you order at a restaurant, they put like a big old hunk of chicken breast on there on a waffle. I'm like,
not always. Some places do it that way. Some places will give you like wings or pieces.
And I'm like, man, that's a lot of work for something that I'm not that crazy about. So, what's a food that most people like? Because I will obviously freely admit, a lot of people, you say chicken and waffles, they sit up in their chair. You know, ooh, chicken and waffles. Doesn't do it for me.
I'm a big chicken and waffles fan, depending on the type of, like, I'm a big wing guy.
Yeah.
So if it's wings and waffles or maybe wings and French toast or pancakes or something like that, I'm in on it. But I'm not the biggest fan of the chicken and waffles from a fast food spot.
Well, that's the question. What's a food that most people like, but you do not? Clearly, for me, chicken and waffles is on the list. This is a weird one for me. Would you like sweet potato fries? No, thank you. But I like sweet potatoes. I like sweet potatoes. I like them baked even. Sometimes we'll bake a sweet potato, not just, you know, like the Thanksgiving sweet potato casserole or whatever. But sweet potato fries are just weird to me. And IPA beer, that's cat pee.
I am so disappointed in you.
That is cat
pee. I am so disappointed in you because when you talk about, like, I understand that sweet potato fries takes a backseat to like your more traditional potato fries or whatever. The thing that I love about sweet potato fries is they don't seem to have the same shelf life or the same ticking time.
They get soggy.
Bomb nature.
That's another reason.
Well,
yeah.
You say they get soggy. I feel like they maintain their taste and their flavor profile in a way that regular fries do not. You got 15 minutes with regular fries.
Yeah, but they're like spaghetti noodles after 10 minutes. They get soft and soggy, no matter where you get them. They get soggy fast. Maybe I don't know what.
Some other text coming in. Somebody said coleslaw. 409. I appreciate you throwing coleslaw in here. In addition to saying that they don't like fried chicken and pineapple. Okay.
Fried chicken.
Fried chicken is the one that's egregious. Because
I'm about to say, is he saying fried chicken with the pineapple?
No, just
or just
these are chicken. This is a list.
Who doesn't like fried chicken?
Someone that I can't trust.
Somebody that's not from Earth.
Someone that I can't. Because that's the thing. I don't know how the stereotype for black folks became fried chicken. Because I'm like,
who doesn't like
me to the people that don't do that.
Yeah. Same thing. You know, I mean, like, come on. I mean, let me change how I'm going to say this.
Uh-oh. Yes,
before you get canceled.
I love watermelon. Love watermelon. But I don't eat a lot of watermelon because my wife hates it. That's part of the That's part of the relationship thing. That's part of the relationship thing. Like if your wife doesn't like a particular food, you eat less of it.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. My wife actually don't like watermelon, which is kind of shocking.
Why is that?
Some people feel like it's not enough flavor. Some people feel like it's more water than anything else. The idea, what I wanted to come back to is I feel like coleslaw is given to us a lot of places. Does people like so many people? That feels like a popular opinion that you don't like coleslaw.
Yeah, I don't like it. What's weird is y'all know nothing about this down here, but in Cleveland we have a thing called a Polish boy, which is a Polish sausage with French fries, barbecue sauce, and coleslaw on the top of it. It's really, I know it sounds crazy, but it's really good. That's the only time I like coleslaw.
You are preaching that the only time I eat coleslaw is like on a hot dog or a sausage. You know, something like that.
I can't eat it by itself.
I like coleslaw on a hot dog. It's made for it.
I can see that.
It's awesome.
I can't. When I go to Cane's, I said no coleslaw, double fries.
So let me ask you guys this. Let me ask you guys this because I actually texted the family the question of the day. And how do you feel about, and I actually agreed with this one, but I hadn't thought of it. Ham. Ham on a sandwich is next level. But ham as the primary protein on a plate?
Disagree.
I don't think it's that.
Disagree.
I'll take a lot of other things before that.
I might take it a step further, to be honest.
Yeah.
I like ham. Sometimes I like ham over turkey.
Correct.
For Thanksgiving.
Wow.
Good answer.
Yeah, I know. Like, I know Lopez probably got the good turkey, which is, you know, probably not dry, I'm guessing, and all that stuff. But sometimes, man, I prefer ham over turkey for Thanksgiving.
They also said Rice Krispie treats.
Is it no?
As one that most people like that they don't.
I think I'm kind of there, but you know what the reason is? I think I've given you this this philosophy that I have on life, that there's some foods or things, I guess, in general, where you have a lifetime limit.
Mm-hmm.
I think I've hit my lifetime limit.
Yeah, okay, gotcha. Once you hit 21.
I ate a lot of them joints as a kid.
One thing I can't get down with is yogurt.
I like yogurt.
I don't like yogurt at all, man. Yeah. I even tried. Like, I tried to get the fancy yogurt, too, to maybe cover up the nasty regular. No, they had some type of Oreo.
That's a good one.
They had some type of Oreo yogurt or something like that. I just couldn't do it, man. I feel like I see something spoiled.
Yeah.
crawfish is one of those popular ones that comes in, and mm-hmm. I've got to be honest. I just feel like you're lazy. No, jokes, jokes. You can have your opinions. I will say that that is something that comes to my mind. The answer for me is funny because I think if you have anything in the, you know, Hispanic or particularly Mexican domain, mm-hmm. it feels weird because if you like pretty much anything in that space, you should kind of like everything. It's a similar palette of ingredients, just kind of fixed in different ways, fantastic ways. The nacho. Nachos, like, and I'm talking.
You don't
about,
like nachos?
I'll eat them, but like, I'm not high on them, right? Like, especially
that is weird.
Obviously, stadium nachos, like, miss me with it. Like, it's never situated properly.
Well, I don't do that. The canned
all the,
cheese,
all the cheese. Yeah, no, yeah, even yeah. if without even getting to the idea of
the can, yeah.
right? The canned cheese, whatever. The cheese is never evenly. Like, you have one chip that is entirely covered in
just
cheese,
all and dry.
You have another chip that has absolutely nothing. But then you could take this all the way to like the actual elevated nacho where it's a big tostada with everything on it. I'm just like, this is a lot. I'm good on it. Which is funny. Again, all of the ingredients, love them. Put them in different circumstances, burrito, whatever. I'm here for it. The nacho, I'm like, eh.
I don't know if you have another one, Figgy, but another one that was texted from the kids. I think a lot of people fall in this category. One of my daughter. Cake.
I'm there.
I know a lot of people that don't like cake. Yeah, yeah. I'm not there, but I know a lot of people that just can't get down with specifically birthday cake.
Yes,
I know a lot of people that don't like birthday cake.
All cake.
Yeah, me too. One thing I can't get down with, bananas.
You said that before.
Texture thing?
Yeah.
Texture thing?
That and actual taste.
Okay.
I don't like the real taste of banana. I don't like the artificial flavor of banana.
Really?
If sometimes I get one of these fruity drinks that had like tropical banana. I taste the banana, I'm out on it.
Really?
That's, yeah.
I
can't
don't know
do banana.
Anybody doesn't like banana.
Yeah.
I actually know quite a few for that similar reason. Yeah. Avocado is one that's come in.
Yeah.
Somebody said when it comes to watermelon, they said they can't stand the taste or the smell. Interesting. Oysters, fair, right? Like,
yeah,
I think
fair.
Anything that feels a little exotic to and more simple palate, not saying that your palate is simple, but anything that falls in that line, I absolutely get how people get to that place. Cottage cheese is a great answer.
Yes.
What is this
yes.
for?
I mean
that entirely sincerely. What does this do?
Yes. I'm there too. I'm there with blue cheese. I know Lopez ain't gonna like that, but
I
blue
love
cheese.
Me some blue cheese.
Once if I dip a wing in some blue cheese,
I'm throwing the wing out.
The wing is over with.
That's heaven.
The wing is in the trash.
All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. That was the question of the day. Coming up next. We're waiting for some players of the week announcements, hoping that we see a Texan that should be coming in. And then also, I've got some coaches on the hot seat. I want you to tell me if you believe that these guys are, you know, about to lose their job or if they're going to make it. We'll talk about that more next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.